I saw a company.
How was it?
I mean, it's great. Obviously, Mel Giedroyc is hilarious.
I know.
It's really good. Amazing physical comedy.
But Tell actually... Sue. Was she in it this time?
No, not when I saw it. Not when I saw it.
That's a shame. But anyway, sorry, carry on.
I loved it. I didn't... I mean, I kind of went because, you know, oh, everyone's raving about it. You know, it'll be all right. But no, proper loved it.
Really good.
Really want to go again. I mean, I won't have time before it closes.
Yeah, when does it close? End of...
30th.
But
I'm glad I've seen it because it was awesome.
And I did see your tweet about the branding.
Right?
Yes.
They're so on brand.
So simple, yet so effective.
So effective.
But did you see Rosalie?
Yes.
Because I didn't see her.
She was fab.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would expect nothing less.
You know.
To be honest.
Absolutely. And of course, Paddy LaPalme was amazing. And
we should get her on. Or get her to do Eurovision.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Let's do that. I'm gonna call her now.
Great. Hi Paddy.
So here we are, episode 4. I don't know why I've gone Irish. Wishful thinking.
It's all the excitement.
I know.
Right. Well, I think let's just dive into yeah. What should we do first? You want to do Parish Notices or Advice for Rice?
Let's mix it up, because we did Advice for Rice, then Parish Notices that way around. So let's do Parish Notices.
Okay.
Fast.
Do it.
I think that Gina
Parish Notices.
So, item one of Parish Notices, week 4, is that the red carpet in Tel Aviv that... I guess people walk down.
Yeah.
Is in fact going to be an orange carpet.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently last year in Portugal, because you know they have that sea theme going on, all aboard.
Oh,
I remember.
Yes.
So they changed it to a blue carpet last year.
Yes.
So the Israelis are like, yeah, we'll have a bit of that.
We're not going red, but won't it just look like it's faded?
I think it might be a quite a vibrant orange because the orange colour was chosen in connection with Eurovision 29's official 2019's official sponsor, MyHeritage.
Oh, okay.
It's their logo is orange, apparently, so it's going to be their their brand of
so
orange.
So it'll be obviously orange.
Yes.
Not like... You know.
I mean, I don't know what MyHeritage is or what their logo is, but I'm presuming it's a pretty...
Big deal. They're pretty big.
Stark orange colour.
I hope so.
Yeah. So, well, that's interesting, isn't it?
It is.
Item number two.
It all adds context.
Absolutely. And we're all about context. Item number two. I don't know if you remember, but last time in Parish Notice, we told you about the four, or no, maybe it was two times ago, the four presenters. Yeah. Well, one of them is Azee Azar, and he is a member of the LGBT community. And he has announced that he will be donating all of his Eurovision salary, which is 105,000 Israeli shekels, which is about 25,000 euros.
Wow.
He's donating it all to the Israeli Gay Youth Organization.
Oh, nice.
That was founded in 2001 and supports young LGBTQ members of the community in Israel.
Well, that's nice of him.
It's very nice of him.
The reason why I'm trying to desperately find this thing, which I can't find, is my work wife, Amy.
Yes.
Amy Burke, look her up, otherwise she'll make us issue an apology again.
Again.
She was saying she thinks that one of the presenters that we mentioned is She's a big supermodel, big Israeli supermodel, and used to be the girlfriend of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Ooh.
God, I can't remember who she said it
Shall
was.
Shall I do item number three and we can come back to
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, yes. Go back to that, and if I find it, go to number three. If Fine. I find it, I'll tell you. If not, then we'll just leave it out there and people can tell us whether it's
do
true
some Googling.
Or not. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to do all the work for you. Parish Notices number three. The single is out, people. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than you and me. And now you can download it on iTunes. You can stream it on Spotify, which I have done today. And actually, I got like,
did you get,
I really
did you,
like, I yeah, I've started.
Did
I've
you get
given
the gallops?
Yeah. I'm all, I'm
excited.
I'm very excited.
So I tweeted our advice for rice. I just need to say this.
Yes.
I should probably do it after the advice for rice, but I'm going to say it now. And I noticed the hashtag better than us. At the end of it, it says anus.
Do you know, I didn't notice that, but what I did notice is that when you tweeted him, he's at Michael Rice Off, which is short for official, but there aren't enough letters. But it sounded like an insult. Oh, Michael Rice Off.
But I love a good hashtag game. Better than us.
Better than anus.
And we can say that because we're the original podcast.
Not official. And so it's out, and already it has gone into the top 40 in Sweden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, number 38. Now, we know that the Swedish are connoisseurs of Eurovision.
Yeah.
They know where it's at. So that's really positive news if the Swedes are buying it.
Well, I judge all my, like the barometer of how Eurovision something is how the Swedes like it.
Yeah, well, they're liking
they like
Michael
it.
Rice.
Good.
Gang,
we
hold on to
Michael
your
Rice.
Underpants. This could be an exciting
else's.
Year.
So I found the thing. Bar Raffaelli, is that one of the presenters?
Let's say yes.
So yeah, is an Israeli supermodel, an ex-girlfriend of Leonard, she says, but it's Leonardo. I'll let you off the typo. Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's Leonard.
Leonard DiCaprio.
Yeah, nothing to do with Titanic. Leonard DiCaprio. He's
like,
got a tobacconist.
He's in a rep theatre company in Skegness. Not the Hollywood actor.
People go up to see the shows, and it's Leonard.
No, where's Leonardo DiCaprio? Oh, no, it's Leonard. Leonard DiCaprio.
Leonard DiCaprio.
But yeah, so that's quite interesting. I don't know whether that is one of the names we mentioned. But
probably is.
But it could just be an interesting fact about an Israeli supermodel.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy Burke.
We are a bit giddy today.
I know.
Let's do advice for rice and see if we can't calm down.
Calm the hell down.
Advice for rice.
Ooh, that's nice. So this week's advice for rice is do something different. Break the mould.
Oh,
yes.
We're so on brand.
Yes. And we're going to give you some advice this week about how you could, like, other examples of how you could break the mould, but do something different to stand out, to be Eurovision.
Yeah.
Don't just be run-of-the-mill.
I mean, we're going to cover this in more detail, but in the past, people have sung without shoes.
Mm-hmm.
They have ripped off items of clothing. Mm-hmm.
Had a hamster wheel. But, you know...
I mean, that didn't work out too well.
But,
you know, these are things that you can try. Well, you can't try them because they've already been done. But, you know, take that as your inspiration.
Yeah.
What could he do?
Well, why don't we get people to... Get
Tweeters.
Our many, many listeners to tweet...
Advice
him,
for ice.
Him and us.
With suggestions of how he can break the mould.
Yeah. For Eurovision 2019.
I mean, we know the song. We should be able to come up with something.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. Well, let's come up with something. Maybe that could be this year's competition.
Yeah.
How he could break the mould, come up with suggestions. And then I don't know how we make him do them. So we'll find a way.
We'll find a way.
And if it means one of us gets arrested or both of us gets arrested, then so be it.
Yeah.
It will be worth it.
So tweeters or Instagrammers, your suggestions, at Don't Play the Song and at Michael Rice Off. And why not chuck in a hashtag better than anus?
Well, that is the official hashtag of the song.
Of the United Kingdom's entry.
Yeah.
Which is in the top 40 in Sweden.
I'm very excited about. Very excited. Okay, should we crack on? Let's have a little sting.
Ooh.
And we're back.
We're back.
So, Michael, talk us through what we're doing today.
So we have come up with 10 songs that in some way broke the mold, did something new, something fresh
and not Eurovision. Not just gimmicks. We're not just talking Eurovision gimmicks because that isn't breaking the mold.
No. That's... So actually we've got the first Eurovision gimmick because that broke the mold and now every mother's got a gimmick.
Yeah.
So that's where gimmicks comes into it. But we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah.
So we're starting way, way back in 1967 with the first time the United Kingdom won.
Woo!
Sandy Shaw, and she, it was the 60s, it was a tamer time, so this sounds like not a big deal, but she sang without shoes.
Mm.
And
it wasn't done.
It just wasn't the done thing.
Especially not for women. You'd be in your court shoe with your little kitten heel or something, or
absolutely.
A boot. Maybe in the 60s you might have had a knee-high boot.
Ooh, yes. Made for walking.
Yes. But, yeah, without shoes would have been very uncouth.
Very uncouth. And now everyone does it. Everyone's like, oh, I'm doing a Sandy Shaw.
Doing a Sandy Shaw.
I'm going to sing in no shoes and be all like, yeah, that makes sense. Rubbish. Right, you're going to hear a clip of Sandy Shaw while we watch the whole thing. She knew where the camera was.
She knew where they were.
That, you know, because I remember when we were looking at old stuff when we were doing the seconds, we were always very hot on that. So we know where the camera is.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of them wouldn't. Like, I mean, even Cliff was looking out at the
Cliff
audience.
Did not know where the camera was.
He was waving at his mates. But yeah, she had all the buttons to look at the cameras.
Yeah.
And I did like the bit where they went to the backing singers. they shot them. So you could hear them the rest of the song just doing like oohs and ahs. And then they went over to them in this instrumental bit because they were like, oh, let's cut over to them. And they weren't doing anything because nobody was singing at that point because it was an instrumental.
So we just were looking at three women standing next to a microphone.
One of them with sunglasses on.
Who looked a bit like the mum from Summer Holiday.
But why did she have sunglasses on?
Why did she have sunglasses on inside?
Yeah, why didn't they all have sunglasses or none of them have
sunglasses?
She just
had a cataract stuff?
Maybe she had.
Oh.
We should find out.
I'll tweet Sandy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it won because it had a technical error.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I knew until watching this properly. So her mic isn't on at the beginning. So
maybe she got sympathy votes.
She comes in halfway through the... Well, Siri didn't, so it doesn't always work.
Different time now, though, Michael. Different time.
Yeah, so that was surprising. Also, I like that on her big notes, she's very cheekily, she's doing an anchor, but turning it into a dance move.
Yeah,
so she's like leaning back and swaying, and it looks like, oh, she's doing like a hippie, I'm so free dance. She's not, she's anchoring. She's getting the note
she's
out.
She's getting the note out. She's doing the job. Forcing that note out. Getting it out. And I like her dress. Very nice. It's
very baby doll.
Very baby doll.
Used to inspire the backing singers of Cliff Richard.
Exactly. Exactly.
It all ties in.
In
a heritage of United Kingdom entries. Fun fact, Sandy hates this song.
Yeah.
She thought it was really sexist, which I suppose it is.
Well,
so,
yeah.
You right.
I'll be waiting for you like a puppet.
Puppet
on
a string. Yay.
But, you know, I hadn't really listened to the words. But then I find it really hard these days with any songs. I can't really listen to the words. A lot of songs that I liked years ago when I was growing up, and you listen to them now and you're like, oh, that's really problematic.
Yeah. Basically only the Spice Girls left that you can listen to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, I mean, definitely no MJ. Can't listen to that anymore.
No. I mean, the worst, I think, is R. Kelly. It's like, my mind's telling me no, but my body... No, R. Kelly.
No, nobody's body is telling you yes. In fact, they're emphatically telling you no.
No.
But yeah, sorry, we digress.
Slightly inappropriate, sorry.
But yeah, I mean, watching it now, you'd think it was quite tame. But actually, it was a huge deal.
Huge deal. And people do it to this day, including Annoying Face last year.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm just not going to wear shoes. Sandy Shaw effect.
Yeah. She started it. She broke that mold.
Boom. You're welcome. So that was number one. Number two on our list. So I'm doing it all off the same device.
I mean, technology.
Number two is Bucks Fizz. Ooh. We're sticking with the United Kingdom. This is the fourth time we've won.
Yeah, I think so.
It is the first time Eurovision has a gimmick.
You're welcome. Give it up.
Any of them are natural blondes.
There's only one way to find out. I mean, they were very tight trousers. We could almost see whether they were natural blondes. That's iconic. And it's just, go and watch it because it's just joyful. Actually, there's so much stuff because this is like a memory. This is like an iconic memory of Eurovision. It's what's brought out every time we talk about us winning stuff, obviously, because we won it. But there's so much stuff like not Cheryl Baker doing, I don't know her name, but she's proper going for it.
She is, right. So this is, she is going for it and we love energy, but it does mean that she looks more excited than the other three who are having a more sort of tempered performance. And it does mean in the last sort of 45 seconds, she's not out of tune, but she's wavering on the edge of being in tune because she's knackered.
Or hysterical. Like, she looks like she's just about to have a Michael Douglas falling down moment and just lose it completely.
Yeah.
But it is, and just the bit where the camera focuses on the guy, don't know any of their names apart from Cheryl Baker. They're all not Cheryl Baker Man 1, next to Cheryl Baker.
In blue.
When the camera's on him and you just see her hand.
Hit him in the face.
It's just, it's wonderful. Yeah. Then there was a dance break in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was a really complicated 3 minutes to perform. Like, they're singing in harmony. I don't know how many parts.
Probably two.
Two parts.
One and a half.
but they're singing in harmony, live. They are dancing a lot. There's lots of choreography. Most of the time they find the camera as well and they're giving lots of cheeky looks and winks to the camera. Like, there's a lot going on. They definitely deserve to win. I haven't seen the others. I don't need to.
Don't need to. In fact, if I was on a jury for this song, I'd see this wherever it was in the competition, except second, wherever it was, and I would just be like, it's one. I'm going to go and have some food.
It's really slick. That would be a slick performance today.
Yeah.
Almost 40 years later.
Yeah, well, I mean, not when they do it, because obviously we saw that. I thought you meant if they did it today. No.
Not Cheryl Baker's forgotten the timing.
Yeah, she's forgotten the time. She comes in too early. But also the cleverness of, at the time, the reveal on the right words. And if you want to see some more, off comes the skirt.
So this was, I mean, I suppose compared to like hamster wheels and, you know, the madness that you get nowadays, it's quite a tame gimmick. But I think it's important because it was the first time something gimmicky or, you know, was done, and it gave birth to hamster wheels.
Yeah.
They did it very well. It was incredibly effective.
Yeah.
And fun.
I liked it. Thumbs up.
Well done, Bucks Fizz.
Well done.
Well done, you. Next. This is in no particular order. Yeah. This is in the order that we thought of things.
Which is the best order.
Next, it's time for Conchita. From the fading light of life. Conchita, we will get to, but it's just a great song.
Yeah,
like a epic Bond song. Amazing,
brilliant Bond song. If it was going to be a Bond song, it would be a brilliant Bond song.
It would be,
but
a
it's
brilliant
just a brilliant
song.
Just song, and it was different to everything I'm sure it was different to everything that was kind of happening that year. We had, there was another similar one, I think. Or was that the, no, that was the following year. Because I always found with stuff like this, and like with the, when you get ones that completely change it, like this big epic ballad, then the next year
you get loads of them.
Yeah, they put a big epic ballad, and like after Portugal did their sort of quiet slow one, because it'd been something different, everyone was doing something different, and they did that sort of sweet love song, and then other people tried to do that
the following year. But yeah, I mean, obviously this is in the list because, you know, Conchita was, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but I think the first sort of unapologetic lead. Like, there definitely had been drag queens and comedy drag and, you know, backing singers in drag. But this is, I mean, this isn't even drag. This is like a whole nother.
Yeah, it wasn't a gimmick. It wasn't in there as a gimmick, as a somebody coming on as something. It was just there. She was just unapologetically herself and singing an amazing song.
Yeah, and just singing the heck out of it.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I don't think the fact that, you know, a woman with a beard is, that's not what won the song, I don't think. You know. But it just was a wonderful moment for the Eurovision Song Contest that effectively that wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
That's what's breaking the mold.
Yeah.
That's not what won.
Yeah. And I love the moment when they announced the winner. Because she was so surprised.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, she was never going to win. Yeah. Like, but she did.
Yeah.
Because it was awesome.
Yeah.
Well done, Conchita.
And just very good. I don't know if you noticed I love on all these later shows, doing a production of it. It's not just somebody in a studio with an audience and just filming them. Yes, okay, we were talking about camera angles and knowing your camera angles, but then they've started to make it like an art. So when they're doing Rise Like a Phoenix, there's fire coming out, and where the camera was, it looked like the fire was coming from Conchita. And it's all that kind of stuff that's adding to the production. They've really upped their production game.
Yeah. Well, we were saying this last year as we moved through the second places. Like in the last sort of 5 or 6 years, you know, people are taking it seriously. Yeah. Like the quality is high.
Yeah.
You know, and that's interesting because a lot of the critics of Eurovision are, you know, very much like, well, it's not even very good music. But actually, you know, the mission statement of the Eurovision Song Contest has always been that it's a television programme. It's not about making music for the commercial market, interestingly, that its critics forget. But actually now, you know, the standard of the music is so good.
Well, I do find it really,
you know, marketable.
I find it really funny when people talk about Eurovision and they sort of are critical of Eurovision and they haven't seen it since, like,
Making Your Mind Up,
yeah, or even seeing, or they've seen a clip of it from 1994 or some, you know, some 80s. They've seen a clip of Celine Dion singing or some old song, which at the time probably would have been popular at the time. But now, obviously, it's a track from the 80s or the 90s or whatever. And they just seem to think that. And then they find out that songs, they hear a song and they don't realise it's Eurovision. You're like, oh, that was Eurovision from whenever. And they're like, oh, is it? And I just think people are, it's like the whole thing about musicals, isn't it?
Yeah.
That people are
like, oh, I don't like musicals.
I don't like musicals because I don't like the one about cats or whatever. and they just, it's just not like that anymore.
It is not.
No.
So
it's risen like a phoenix.
It has.
That's what it's done.
Right, gang. Our next mold-breaking song is Hard Rock Hallelujah by Lordi.
Ooh. All we need is lightning with power and might, striking down the prophets of fools. And as the moon is rising, they must decide. Now let us rise up in the world.
I remember when that happened, so when they won, and so each year my family would get together. I say my family, it's mainly my mum and my sister. We'd get together and we'd have a cake and we'd watch Eurovision. I remember this year because my mum was livid that they'd won. She was absolutely apoplectic. I think it's because she's really old-fashioned. Like we were talking about people's view of Eurovision. So she was really old-fashioned with the whole kind of what should happen at Eurovision. And this was totally different, like everything about it, and it's not her style of music that she likes, but it was hilarious. I just remember her bit, like, I don't think she could talk about it for weeks afterwards. But I mean, I just think it's wonderful, like, just even if it's not your bag.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily my bag, but I really love the song. I think it's a great song. And isn't it nice to have a different genre, something fresh?
Yeah.
And, you know, they went for it. Like, they weren't just like, no, you know, it's different style of music, different style of singing. Her with the pipes in the background is amazing.
Awesome.
But then, you know, like, they're in prosthetics. They've got animatronic costumes. There's, like, pyros going off everywhere. Like, they threw the kitchen sink and then the kitchen cupboards at this.
And it was just,
Of course it was going to win.
But the thing that makes me laugh, though, is imagine, so this is like an epic concert. Like we were talking about before, it's an epic concert and they're in their world because they are singing their song and they've got their stuff on. Can you imagine backstage in the holding area, like, afterwards, and then they're just like,
just good luck.
good luck. Or even before they went on, so even before any rehearsal, so people haven't really seen them, and then they're just sat there with all their prosthetics on and their horns, just going, oh, good luck, guys.
Good luck. Break your leg. So have you got any water?
I just love the idea of them sitting there, just, you know, on the little couch.
Well, so my... I don't know if I've mentioned this on a podcast before. My brother is the lead singer in a death metal band.
You have not.
Oh, yeah.
They should do
Imminent Annihilation. They're great. Saw them at Bloodstock last year.
We should put there. We'll put some links on there.
Yeah, they're awesome. But my brother is really sort of quite mild mannered, and, you know, hello.
Yeah.
And you know, nice boy from Aylesbury, and then he gets up on stage. He's like, rah! And then he comes off again, puts his glasses back on. It's like, hello, did you like the show?
Hello, did you like it? How is that?
It's not a really accurate impression of Jordan, but but it's that kind of dichotomy.
Love it.
I think it happens quite a lot in the hard rock world.
Well, it's like a character.
Yeah, exactly.
That they're playing, and hence all the masks all the and stuff as well.
And also, what I was thinking is, so this was the year of. What's his face? Russell Howard in a wig with his necrophilia song.
Yep.
So I'm like, did this happen at Halloween instead of May?
I know.
Like, you know, like when they themed X Factor, it was like Halloween themed Eurovision.
Let's have a dead dancer.
We've totally hit on something amazing there.
Oh my God.
Theming Eurovision.
Well, we've talked about like doing like Easter or Christmas. Eurovision.
Yeah,
Easter is kind of Easter now. It's spring holiday. But yeah.
Christmas Easter. Eurovision. Halloween Eurovision, big band Eurovision.
Oh my God, let's do it. I mean, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And then if you can't make it to the show, you can come and watch it on repeat in our Eurovision cafe.
Yay!
Which we haven't forgotten about.
We haven't. But so we'll talk about this another time maybe before, because I need more details.
Yeah.
But I have discovered in my research that in Tel Aviv, they have set up a Eurovision cafe.
What?
Yeah, it's part of the Eurovision Village.
But I bet they haven't got... I bet it's just a Eurovision cafe. I don't think they've named stuff.
They better not have, because that is our idea. Again, unofficial, but original.
I will lose my shit if they do. But yes... So what's next?
Next is checking the list. Ireland last year.
Yeah.
With the dancing gaze.
Oh. I thought we'd be together till we die. I'll forever wonder why. I thought we'd be together till we die.
Well, so we've watched the song, and then we've gone on like a half an hour rant about LGBT issues.
Visibility and rights and,
yeah.
It's beautiful. It really is. Beautiful song. Not the visibility of... it sounds like our conversation was beautiful. Yeah. No, the song.
We were
song.
So eloquent.
The song is beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I think why this is in our Broke the Mould list is because... I mean, I can't believe it took until 2018 to happen, to be honest. It's a sweet song. You know, it's a lovely song. I don't think it would have done as well if it wasn't for the backing dancers. And we all know how important backing dancers are in Eurovision.
Yes.
And they've always been, you know, I love a nice sort of contemporary dance of star-crossed lovers. Happens all the time. But as far as I'm aware, this is the first time it was a same-sex couple. And I think that the beauty of that, given... the large gay following that Eurovision has is how propelled the song higher up the league table than perhaps it would have been on just the merit of the song.
Yeah, I mean, the song, it's a beautiful song, but it's not a groundbreaking song in that sense. It's very once.
Yeah, it could have got lost in the mix.
Yeah, and it is a beautiful song, but it is a love song, which, yeah, like you say, could have got lost in it, but... it's just this beautiful, being able to have a same-sex couple, portray, you know, it being about that, not just going to the generic, we're a, you know, a heterosexual couple, and that's what this song's about. Yeah. It can be, and it just, is it, it's inclusive.
Yeah, we like it, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's a matching music video, which I think we've spoken about before, along the same lines.
Yeah.
So well done, Ireland. Go you.
Who is next?
Who is next? It's Dana International.
Of course.
Match.
Here we go. Viva Maria, Viva Victoria, Afrodita. Viva la diva, Viva Victoria, Cleopatra. That's just wonderful. Michael pointed out something that I'd not even noticed before.
So, bearing in mind, this is in the list... because of its mould-breakingness, but also its inclusivity, because Dana International was... she had transitioned. She was transsexual. So, you know, you'd think it's inclusive. Yeah. So you've got Dana doing her wonderfulness, and then you've got her three sassy backing singers, you know, like in their jackets, just from the office, you know.
Yeah.
Hair just everywhere.
Stepped out from a day at the office to come and perform
to the
Eurovision.
Cocktail bar. And then you've got the fourth backing singer... who, bless her, is bigger boned, off on the other side of the stage on her own.
Yeah.
She doesn't get to join in and all the sassy backing singer
fun. She's just stood by a mic by herself.
It's literally like, oh, you're over there, Tubbs. Come on, girls. Oh, how rude.
Honestly.
And I guarantee you she's the best singer on stage.
Yeah, yeah, she will be. She will be the best singer. Well, I just... question then, is she the actual voice of Dana International?
I mean, it happens, it does happen. Normally, they do a better job of hiding the real voice.
But maybe they thought people won't believe that she's the, because we put her on stage.
Yeah.
But it's just, she's, that was unbelievable. It was only at the end when they stood there.
Yeah, at the end, they did like a little formation and a bigger backing singer wasn't allowed to move. But, God forbid, but they sort of like positioned themselves so it looked like she was on the edge of the triangle. So she was, you know, involved in the performance.
It's just so blatant.
I mean, having potentially been Dana's voice for the entire 3 minutes.
Exactly. She showed her, I mean, yeah, because we never focused on her. So we couldn't see what she was singing, whether she was just doing that,
No. I mean, maybe I'm naive, but I think... that Dana is singing.
Yeah.
And she's singing along with Dana to give her a bit of support.
Yeah, because when she won and she took 5 hours to come out to come out on the stage.
I mean, she was such a loose cannon. There's no way she'd have been able to lip sync.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, it was quite... she was all over the place when she sang it again, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And I don't think the woman at the back would have been all over the place.
She doesn't look all over the place.
No.
She's not allowed to move, let alone feel things.
Yeah. But yeah. Oh, wow. And like you were saying, last time there was an orchestra, because it was in GB.
Yes. So this, 1998, is the last time the Eurovision Song Contest had a live orchestra. So, and I don't know if it still stands, but the BBC had said in the past that should the contest ever return to our shores, because the BBC happened to have an orchestra, it will be another orchestral song contest, which I would like.
I would like
to. To be honest, it's the main reason I would like us to win again.
Yeah, just for the, so that it's really convenient.
Yeah, we'd definitely get to go.
Yeah. And
you know, the thing you see with the conductors with their flags,
yeah,
rather than someone queuing a backing track.
Derek.
FX17, stand by. FX17, go. That's less romantic.
They could still have a baton, just not wave it.
Yeah.
Which defeats the point.
So I watched this contest and I sort of have a vague memory of there being hoo-ha because Dana was transsexual. But I don't know. It's 21 years on. It sort of feels a bit like, of course, now.
Yeah.
It must have been a massive deal.
It was a huge deal.
Yeah, I think that there were conservative people in Israel that were really sort of embarrassed that she was representing the country.
Who was there? Because my mum again. when this happened at Eurovision, she always tells the story of, I think it was it a Bond girl that was born a man and transitioned? But obviously at that time, you couldn't change your birth certificate. I think now you can apply to change it. But so on her birth certificate, it still said she was a man or born a man. And she wanted to marry, and they wouldn't let her because obviously marriage wasn't allowed at that point. But that's what my mum would always do. So this would happen. She'd go, "Oh, it's ever so sad. This Bond girl couldn't get married." So that's whenever I see Dana International.
You just think about that.
There's two things I think about. One, I think about Dana and the fact that the Gallery Shopping Centre in Bristol used to play
all kinds.
All kinds of everything as their theme, and also the poor Bond girl that couldn't get married.
I wonder if it's like a massive... I mean, it's not, is it? I was going to say, is it a massive coincidence? Or did she call herself Dana International specifically for Eurovision?
I think she...
Because of, you know, Dana.
I think she might have done.
I mean, she must have.
Yeah, because that's not...
Classic, you know. Michael and Jerry. We have none of the answers to the question. We're just asking questions into the void. Please Google them for us and tweet us the answers.
But yeah, I think she might have done.
Well done, Dana. Right.
What is next?
Next, we've got Nicole with a little piece. So this is, the song is lovely, and we'll watch the song and we'll talk about that. But actually, it's what happened in the scoring, which is why this song broke the mould.
A little love, a little giving to build a dream for the world we live in. A little patience and understanding for our tomorrow. A little peace, a little sunshine, feel gladness to wash away all the tears of sadness. A little hoping, a little praying for our tomorrow. A little peace.
we've gone off on a tangent again. So, as Michael was saying, it wasn't the song that was groundbreaking, it was the scoring. As we know, scoring a lot of the time is very political.
Mm.
And there's been animosity between Germany and many countries, but Germany and in particular Israel.
For reasons that hopefully we don't need to point out. It's a beautiful song. It's called A Little Piece, and it's by, I think she was like 16 or 17, just sat there in a guitar singing in lots of different languages about peace. And and it got 12 points from Israel.
And so it was a big deal. And she said, apparently, according to some of the YouTube comments that I've just looked at, not from my knowledge, but she said that was getting 12 points from Israel was better than winning. Like, the feeling of that was better than winning.
I can imagine.
It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And I think, didn't Germany give Israel 12 points that year or something?
I don't know, actually.
I'm sure they did. But we fell down a little bit of a hole because we watched some of the voting because we wanted to watch the voting, and then we noticed that a lot of countries were giving us 1 or 2 points. So we thought we'd
look at
what it was. But we should feature that in another episode because it's something special. It's something else.
But yeah, so this was a wonderful moment. Sometimes in life, these kooky, fun things that we enjoy can have greater significance.
Yeah.
And this was definitely one of those moments where, you know, it was... Because the reason the Eurovision was set up was to help, you know, the continent heal after some pretty devastating war for, yeah, you know, 40, 50 odd years. So this was felt like a real sort of signification that that healing was happening, yeah, had happened. You know, the contest had sort of achieved its goal. Yeah, it's, yeah, a lovely, poignant moment.
And I liked the applause for every time she changed language.
Lovely middle class applause. So it was, you know, it was because we had won the year before with Bucks Fizz. This is 1982. So it was like typical middle England polite applause.
Oh, she speaks many languages. Oh,
it's French now. Oh, well done.
Biggest applause when she started singing in English, obviously.
Oh, now we understand what's being said.
But yeah, it was, it's those things that I think make Eurovision, Eurovision.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful moment. Now, the next song, I've not written it properly on the list. I've just written poopy. So I now need to look up what that is. I mean, I know what it is. It's the first ever pop song that won Eurovision. So it was, in its early days, Eurovision was very ballad heavy. And then in 1965, France Gale from Luxembourg sang Poupi de Cire, Poupi de Sang. It's a song that I love. And it's the first up-tempo song that won Eurovision.
Oh, I can't wait. Je suis une poupée de cire, une poupée de son. Mon cœur est gravé dans mes chansons.
Holy shit, guys. Cheryl Cole can time travel.
Yeah.
She put on a blonde wig and sang a French song, which I love,
yeah,
and won Eurovision.
Who knew? We're going to blow this wide open.
Yeah. Secrets out, Cheryl Tweedy Cole, Tweedy Fernandez Cole. Fassini One Direction. We know your secrets.
And your poo-poo. I mean, that was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
She's adorable. How old is she? Because she looks
about 12.
Yeah, she's just enjoying it when she's like, there's no polish to her, shall we say. I mean, there is, like, to look at, she's very polished and very cute and very 60s, you know, with the little bob and the winged eyeliner. But when she gets excited and sings those, that bit, she is like a small child singing at the top of their lungs,
yeah,
or having a tantrum. And it's joyous.
It is joyous. It's also a really fun song.
And she says, poopy. And I'm a child. So I found that funny. But yeah.
Well, so, I mean, this was a monumental song. It paved the way for your Puppets on Strings, yep, and, you know, before then, only ballads won.
But poor Kathy Kirby.
Poor Kathy Kirby came in second to this. I mean, it's a great song. I don't think, yeah, Kathy had a hope of belonging.
I mean, you but know, she did
I love
well.
Kathy Kirby. I feel really bad for her. I feel like we're slowly but surely turning her into a cult thing.
I know. I hope so. I hope so. I hope everyone sings that. Just walks into a room. I belong. I hope so. Oh, we love you, Kathy.
Sorry about the poupée. next, I've just written Netherlands 66.
Ooh.
Let me look up why I've written that on the list rather than what we're actually doing. Well done, Michael.
Well, you know, it all adds to the suspense,
yeah,
and to the slickness of the show, which is why people listen. So I wouldn't worry
for
about
all
it
of the slickness.
Yeah.
Netherlands 1966 was Millie Scott singing Fernando in Filippo.
Oh.
And she was the first black person to take the stage in the competition.
Good Lord.
Let's watch that.
Fernando, Fernando, guitarist at Santiago, speelde heel avond solo.
Wonderful.
I love Millie Scott.
Oh.
So as well as her being the first black performer at the Eurovision Song Contest, also the first time this had been done, she dances into the performance and then dances off afterwards. The dancing off is amazing. It's just like she's like undoing the performance. I was never here. It never happened.
She just skips off with her corded mic,
which is moving after she's gone.
But then she had to come back on to bow.
To do her bow. So she's like, I'm gone, never here. Okay, hide back for my bow.
Do you think anyone questioned that choreography? Do you think they were like, right, so what's going to happen is you're going to dance on? She's like, yep, all for that. And then, right in the end, just dance off the way you came, because that would be like, you know, bookend. Yeah. Like, really?
I wonder if they planned that in Amsterdam, and then when they got to the contest, they were like, oh, no, you need to take your bow.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't... Oh, we've not we rehearsed done to, that. We haven't rehearsed it.
Just step back over
Derek,
the mic.
Derek, what should... What, oh, well, you'll just have to do it now. We don't have time to re-choreograph.
But it didn't do very well, though, did it? Because
no, it didn't get many points. Maybe that was because of the cultural appropriation.
Yes, so,
of all the Mexican stuff.
Yes,
it's so very Mexican for some reason.
She's singing about Fernando and Felipe, but still, you didn't have to get two white blokes in sombreros to play on stage with you. But they're like,
yeah, it's like one step forward, three steps back.
It's like we're ticking the diversity box. That's fine.
That means we can do whatever we want.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, Europe was still a bunch of racists, though. Gave her, what, 2 points?
2 points.
Yeah.
But from everybody.
Yeah, it's great, though. And I love that dancing on and off. Maybe that should be one of our one of our tips.
Honestly, it's really enjoyable. The dancing on was fine. That was fun. But the dancing off was something special.
But also, it's at that moment in the song where it's like, da, 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 da. It's like she'd just, like... Just, I'm going to enter all rooms doing that. Just humming to myself and dancing in. Oh, that was good. That's filled me with joy. What is our last one?
Our last song is the 1997 Love Share Light entry from Iceland.
Yes.
And in a year of Celtic ballads,
yeah,
which allowed Katrina to shine through, yeah, with some awesomeness, this is widely noted as the first overtly sexual Eurovision performance.
It's the least sexiest thing.
It's so unsexy.
Ever
it's bizarre.
Seen. It's just, what were they thinking?
Also, can you sing me a bit of the song?
No, not a clue. Not a clue. We spent a lot of time going, oh, God, because they literally had four women who didn't sing or anything. They were just there. They were unconscious, like they'd been rehypnoled at the start. And,
sick.
Yeah. And then in kind of scantily clad and some PVC boots or whatever. And then they kind of move. At one point, they went into the splits and a tilt and
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
And Madonna hair flicking.
And then he was in a suit, but then the bottom half was like PVC leather shiny trousers. And he did this awful thing where he sat on the couch with his legs open and kind of stroked up his legs.
From his knees all the way up. And then when he got to the crotch, he'd be like, oh, this is where it stops. No, 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 that's when we really turn on the rub.
Yeah, and then... But he had a lovely bevel. Because I don't know why they'd put all those women in front of him, because he ain't interested in the ladies.
Absolutely not. The bevel and the Cuban heels tell you everything you need to know. Seriously, though, but then the top half was really sort of quite like 90s pop star, like with the, you know, the frilly, what's this called?
Cuff.
Sleeve.
Cuff.
And then the open...
Shirt. Collar.
I can't talk. He's rude. Yeah, literally, bottom half, sex club, top half, Stephen Gately.
Or Shakin' Stevens. It's just, I can't unsee it. And I'm not quite sure what they were thinking.
And yet, somehow, this is accredited with breaking the sex mould. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think anything that crass has ever been done since.
No. Well, but... no. What was the... When did they do the people doing the churning to the camera?
You know? Oh, yeah. But that was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, yeah.
This didn't feel tongue-in-cheek. This felt wrong.
This felt like a weird... sex club. Like a weird sex club.
It's like
club
when you go around for dinner with Fred and Mary and it turns out that Fred and Mary are swingers.
Yeah.
And you're not just here for dinner. It's that kind of uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. You're like, I'm going to...
I like your backless chaps, Fred, yeah. But actually...
I don't need dessert,
I've got to go.
I've got an early meeting. So how many points did it get?
So it got 18 points. It came in 20th place.
Yeah.
It got points from four countries. Okay. So Estonia gave it 2 points.
Okay.
Austria gave it 2 points. Yeah. They're very liberal, as we know. Sweden gave it 8 points.
Wow.
Connoisseurs of Eurovision.
Yeah.
And we gave it 6 points.
Wow.
Because it was hilarious.
We are sexually repressed and have a sense of humour.
I mean, I think if you needed to sum up Britain in a sentence.
Honest to God. I mean...
It's a little scarring. I feel a little...
Yeah, I feel... I do.
Do you know, like, when we did the second episode of the first series, there was that really sort of rapey song.
Oh, yeah.
And we just couldn't get over it for ages. Yeah. It feels a bit like that.
It does.
I feel abused.
Yeah. It was his face. I just... The weird, sexy... Or what he thinks is sexy eyebrow thing. Like, when, in which... world has that ever been sexy? In which world has looking like that, people go, has that ever worked?
Roger Moore, maybe.
Well, yeah, but even that, I mean, I find that was more than more. That was more than more, that one. And that's too much. Roger Moore was teetering on the edge of acceptable.
Yes.
But, oh, wow. Wow, what a one to end on.
That broke my mould.
It is. I need to get a new one. Oh, Lord.
Well, gang, that's our 10 Break the Moulds. Obviously, it's all linked in the description if you wanted to check them out on the YouTube. Please do. There's some corkers in there.
Yeah. Have a little look-see for yourself. Well, it's been a joy,
as always. And as we juggernaut towards Tel Aviv... we'll be back. There's episode 5 and 6 yet to come. And if we, I don't know, if we stick to the same schedule, 7, 8, and 9 will be the contest.
Mm.
So we've only got 2 more preamble shows to go.
Yeah, wow.
How did that happen?
We're sailing through this season.
Yeah, I think we're actually a bit more efficient this year. We might chuck in an extra episode.
Let's do it.
Otherwise, there'll be a massive gap for like a month before the concert.
Well, I want to come and have a little trip away and come to Herne Bay. Oh, that rhymes.
Hey.
So we could do like, you know, we'll think of an episode to do there so I can have a little day trip.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the seaside.
Yes.
Until then.
We shall see you next time. Goodbye. Au revoir.